Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, January the 30th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by Antoine Staley, Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, as we talk all things Miami Dolphins and also talk about this week's upcoming Super Bowl. Before we get to Antoine, though, there's really not much else to talk about. There's been some news with the coaching staff. It was announced that Miami Dolphins special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi will not be back. He will not be joining the Dolphins. It was pretty much decided by both sides that when he didn't get the head coaching job, he would not be back. And I do talk about this with Antoine a little bit, so I won't mention much more on that as I will get into it with him. But again, not a surprise. I've been saying for weeks, odds are he was not going to be back. So no surprise there. They have replaced him with Danny Crossman, who his latest job was the special teams coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. The Miami Herald is reporting that Flores is going to keep on and retain two assistant coaches who were in Miami last year. That is running backs coach Eric Studsville and defensive backs coach Tony Oden. Again, that's fine. And other rumors and other reports are Flores has more hires. He's going to hire George Godsey as a tight ends coach and Carl Dorrell as the wide receivers coach. And also Alex Marvez from Sirius XM Satellite Radio is reporting that Pat Flaherty will be the offensive line coach. Pat Flaherty coming over from Jacksonville. Again, all names that have sort of been around the NFL for a while. So these are veteran assistant coaches. Carl Dorrell's been an offensive coordinator before in the college ranks, so he has some experience there. And he's actually been in Miami previously as well, about 10 years ago or so, maybe even a little bit more than that. So again, the staff is starting to come together. It seems like most of the position coaches are being filled out here. And, it sucks about Rizzi. Honestly, very likable man, very good coach. But as I said on this podcast a couple weeks ago, I'm not going to get worked up or upset over a special teams coach. Because at the end of the day, it's really not that important. It's just not. And Miami's special teams this past year was ranked pretty much at the bottom of the league. It was either last or next to last. I think it was ranked 30th overall. So it's just a special teams coach. It's not a huge deal. It's really not a big deal. But, we're starting to get the news, though. News is starting to leak out of who the staff is going to be. No other word. Patrick Graham pretty much is cemented as the defensive coordinator. But there's still nothing. We haven't heard anything more about Chad O'Shea. It does appear he will be the offensive coordinator. But, we don't. If something were to change, I think it would be with Chad O'Shea, because I could see the Patriots making a play to try to hold on to him somehow, some way. But we should know here, come next Monday or Tuesday after the Super Bowl, how Miami's staff really will shape up. So what I'll do right now is take a quick break. And after the break, I will be joined by Antoine Staley, the Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today. As we talk all things Miami Dolphins, we're going to talk Xavien Howard. We're going to talk Ryan Tannehill and his trade value. We'll get his thoughts on some of the quarterbacks who are at the Senior Bowl and a plethora of topics surrounding the Miami Dolphins. So everyone, sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
The DolphinsTalk.com podcast network brings you only the best podcasts covering the Miami Dolphins. With fins up, fans down, welcome to Perfectville, the same old Dolphins show, the Landon and Jeff show, as well as DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast. You will get in-depth coverage from diehard passionate Miami Dolphins fans each and every week. Be sure to listen to all these great podcasts and check them out at DolphinsTalk.com.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley from USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So the Miami Dolphins here are now about a week away from when they can officially hire their head coach in Brian Flores. And, you know, we're starting to see some news about who's going to be on the staff and such. News broke not too long ago that Rizzi will not be back with the Miami Dolphins, which I don't find this as a big shock, because when you interview for a job and you don't get the job, to work for the guy who got the job is a bit awkward, and I didn't think he'd be back. What are your thoughts on some of the names here that have been announced in staff? Rizzi's obviously gone. Jim Caldwell as sort of a senior assistant quarterbacks coach guy, and you got the offensive coordinator, Chad O'Shea, it appears, is going to have that job, and Patrick Graham.
It's an interesting group. I don't know if it's going to result to wins, how it's going to result to wins and losses, but it's definitely an interesting group. You got a guy with experience, and that's good for a guy with Brian Flores, who's never been a head coach in the league. He's been a coordinator, kind of is this year, where he's calling plays for the Patriots defense, but it has very limited experience in that area as being a head coach. So, yeah, I think it's good to have guys that have been there, done that, been in the league for a while. I think it's a benefit for him. It will be a benefit to him going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big one here is Jim Caldwell, because I always think when you have a first-time head coach, the most important person to have on your staff is someone who has been a head coach before, and you have someone sort of to lean on. So I like that move the best. The rest of these moves, as I've been saying here on my show, you can't get excited about them, because we've been down this road so many times before where we hire guys to be coordinators in their first-time coordinators, and they have great resumes, but they get in that role and they fail. So it's like some of these names, it's like, oh, he seems like he might be good. Oh, he seems like he might be good. But it's tough to get excited about these guys, because we just don't know. It's just a lot of unknowns.
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing about it. Yeah, a lot of people talk about how they like a guy. I don't think anybody knows how
it's gonna
work out.
Yeah,
so I think it's about the people that they're going to surround themselves about. And really, obviously, it'd be up to the players that are on the roster. And I think that's pretty much the bottom line. I mean, if you have a talented roster, more often than not, you're going to win at a high level. If you don't, then more often than not, you're not going to win.
Easy to coach great players. It's easy to coach great players. So, yeah. Because as I said, we've had guys in recent years like Paul Pasqualoni, like Kevin Coyle, you know, guys who were respected guys in this league who were just never coordinators. They got their break in. It didn't work out. So, you know, when I hear names like Patrick Graham, Chad O'Shea, it's like, oh, okay, they seem like quality people and guys who have worked their way up the ranks. But honestly, it's still a shot in the dark, and it's tough to get excited about that. Next topic, Ryan Tannehill. I know you had an article on your site recently about his trade value and how the Miami Dolphins would probably like to trade him. What do you think his trade value really is out there? And do you think a team actually would part with something for him?
You're not. If you're thinking you're getting something like a day one.
No.
Of course not. No, yeah. But you could definitely potentially for him. Potentially, depending on the team and their interest in him. Obviously, I think it's going to be some teams that need help at the quarterback position, and they may need a stopgap guy. And the Dolphins obviously need one too. I think they're just kind of exhausted of Ryan Tannehill.
Exactly.
And they don't necessarily want to bring him back, especially at the number that he's going to command. So they'd rather just go ahead and move on and start young and see what they can have and somebody younger and less injury prone. So, I think they want to go in a different direction. So, I definitely think a team like the Redskins would have some interest there. I don't know if they would trade for him, but especially with the high number, considering they're going to be
paying. That's what I was just going to mention. Yeah. About the contract. It's about the contract,
Possibly. Maybe you could restructure his deal, work out something on that end, and get something done there. I think that's a possibility. Jacksonville, maybe interested. I know they're probably interested in Joe Flacco there as well. The Giants are going to be interested in some quarterback. I don't know who. So there's going to be some interest out there from Tannehill. He can't start in the league. It's just about can he stay healthy? I think that's the main concern for any team that's going to be willing to pick him up.
Can he stay healthy, and can you put enough guys around him who are quality guys around him? Because we've seen here for the past, 7 years, he cannot lift the game of many people around him. So he's got to go to the right spot to have success. Washington might be a nice spot for him, actually. I like their head coach there. I think that might be a good spot for him. I think if he's with the Giants, that would be an utter disaster. Jacksonville, I'm not sure if he's that much of an upgrade over what they got now. But, yeah, I just think the tricky part in trading him is you also have to trade his contract. And most teams are not going to want that contract. They would just wait for him to get released and then make a play for him then instead of parting with anything, whether it's a fifth or a sixth, anything. It's like, why part with anything? We can just wait, because I don't know how many teams will be knocking down Miami's door for him.
Yeah, I will say this. It's not like he's making high-end quarterback money. I mean, it's kind of middle range average right now. I think teams would want to get that number lower.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in the $12 million range, I could see possibly. Quarterbacks today are getting – I mean, you see it, especially with the Kirk Cousins deal. They paid outrageous numbers. So, well, he's going to command like a little bit under about $20 million, give or take. I mean, it's average, but, yeah, you definitely want to get that number down if you can. But, yeah, it might. Who knows? I mean, if you're the Dolphins, why not just try to throw it out there that you may try to trade Ryan Tannehill and see what you may offer. There's no telling what you may, what team may come after you. Nobody knows what the Bengals are going to
exactly.
do either.
It only takes one team. It only takes one team. And as we've seen in this league, because we have been one of those teams, a lot of these teams in this league aren't that bright, and they make – dumb moves. And if you get a team that's dumb, you might get something of value in return for him.
Yeah, it might be a team like the Bengals. The Bengals might decide they want to trade Andy Dalton, maybe to the Redskins, and then they come back.
And they go get Tannehill.
They decide to get Tannehill because Taylor has worked with Tannehill in the past. So, yeah, you could definitely see something like that possibly happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of trades, I know there's been a lot of speculation on what Miami might do with Xavien Howard. Should they pay him the big bucks? And I know should they possibly see what they can get for him in a trade? It might be of good value in return. And, I mean, obviously, look, you'll trade anybody if you get what you want in return. The question is, what do you think? So if you were in charge of the Dolphins, what would you do with Xavien Howard? And if he is on the block, what kind of value do you think he has? I don't know if you get a first-round pick for him. You could probably get a second and a fourth, I would think, for him or something like that, because he does have value because the age and just the quality of player he is. But what are your thoughts on Xavien Howard, and what would you be looking to do?
I mean, in a shutdown corner that's still young.
I know.
Yeah, so I would give him a first round pick provided he would sign a contract extension.
Yes.
I would do that because those guys are hard to find. Those are one of the premium positions. Now, if you're going into a last year of his deal, then no, I would not give him a first round pick because then you're playing with fire that he may or may not re-sign, and then
you could franchise tag him. You could franchise tag him.
Yeah, you could do that, but still, that doesn't necessarily guarantee much after that.
Not for exactly.
So, I would definitely give up. If you look at it, just the contract the way it is, maybe a second, maybe a third round pick for him, potentially there, especially if you're the Dolphins. I mean, I don't know how they're gonna view it because
I'm
sure they're gonna try to work something out with him. He may decide to just want to be a free agent, and he may decide to do that. It's going to be an interesting decision because the Dolphins are definitely in rebuild mode, and he may decide he may not want to go through that and decide to test free agency.
Yep, absolutely. And if I'm the Dolphins, here's my logic on this. I know they sort of want to rebuild and restart, but with any team, you got to pay somebody. Somebody's got to be making the big bucks on the team. And usually you want that to be with your quarterback. But if you're not going to pay a guy like Howard, who you took in round two, and you have, helped grow into what he is, it's like, who are you going to pay? So if it were me, I would try to re-sign him. He's going to want a ton of money. And he probably is worth a ton of money. But if you're not going to pay him, I mean, who are you going to pay at the end of the day? So I would try to hold on to him. But, if a team wanted to part with a first-round pick, which could help you possibly land – your future starting quarterback, then I wouldn't be against it, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it just depends on the offer that you might get. Yeah, I would listen to trades. I wouldn't necessarily facilitate them. But if a team wanted to ask me about Xavier Howard, I would definitely be open to listen to see what they might have. Because you don't know how he's going to react as far as to try to re-sign him. And I think if they don't get something done before the off-season program, the spring program, and everything, he may not report. And he may not report the training camp either. Look,
he's got the same agent as Landry, which I know each situation's not the same, but we saw how that played out too. So,
but yeah, actually Landry reported to camp too.
He did. He was a good soldier. He showed up every day. He just waited till it was his time, and that's when he made his noise, which was smart actually, because he got everything he wanted in the end. So yeah, we'll see how this plays out with Howard. And the one thing too, that agent, he is suspended here for a little bit longer, so nothing's going to happen soon, because I think he got a 30-day suspension, his agent, by the NFL PA.
That's
what it was, yeah. So he probably won't be able to start anything probably till around the draft time. So who knows? This is going to be tricky to see how this plays out, and it'll be something to follow. The Senior Bowl was this past week, and I guess the big talk was, of course, with the quarterbacks, as always. But the one guy I want to sort of focus on was Drew Lock from Missouri, who I am a huge fan of. And there's a report out in the New York Post via a newspaper in Colorado that John Elway loves him. Who knows if it's true or he's just setting out a smokescreen, but he's in love with him. What are your thoughts on Lock as a player? Because he's played in a lot of big games in the SEC. And in all those games, in almost all those games, I should say, he's been on the team with lesser talent. And, his numbers aren't bad for, when Missouri plays Alabama, Georgia, LSU, when they play Florida, they're always the underdog. They are always at a talent disadvantage. And, he put up numbers and played well in a tough conference. And I like him a lot. What are your thoughts on Locke?
I like him to a degree. I do like him. He's the problem. He's been inconsistent at times. When he played teams, he played Florida very well. Against Florida, he played really well. Against Alabama, Georgia, probably not so much. But he's had some great games. He's had some not so great games. I guess you can expect that from some college quarterbacks. Yeah. You have to say they with Patrick Mahomes too. It's kind of hard to
with the talent around him too.
Yeah. So, I definitely do. He has a great arm, big, strong, everything you look for in a quarterback. And I definitely think he's going to go in the top 10, and he really solidified that down in Mobile last week. And I don't see him slipping past the Broncos. Now, whether the Broncos will be able to take him or not, I don't know. But I definitely expect him and Dwayne Haskins to go 1 and 2 as far as the quarterback order. And after that, we'll see. But, yeah, he's definitely a great prospect. I definitely think him and Haskins are the two locks for the first round. And everything after that is pretty much a question mark.
I'm with you. And the next guy I want to talk about is someone who wasn't at the Senior Bowl. And I think from reading your stuff online, you're pretty much in the same boat with me. And I think we're in the minority in talking about Kyler Murray. To me, the height is something you have to worry about, and the size of his body only being roughly 190 pounds or so, which who knows if that's even accurate. That is something you have to worry about. And I know a lot of fans are, in love with him, in love with his style of play. And look, he's a fantastic player in college. I just don't know if that'll translate to the NFL at that size. What are your thoughts on Murray?
Yeah, it's that. I know a lot of people talk about, they're less talk about the Big 12 style because Baker came out and did such a great job. But Baker Mayfield is just, I mean, he's a different type of prospect, I think. He's different build-wise and just mental makeup-wise than Kyler Murray. Yeah, Murray had a great year, won the Heisman Trophy, obviously, did great things for Oklahoma. But the biggest concern, not only his size and weight, but also is it just a flash in the pan. You remember Baker Mayfield, he had had some great years before that, before his last year at Oklahoma. Murray, he just has really 1 year as far as work, body of work. And you can add that with the size and the other concerns there as well. Maybe also questions about his passion. To be completely honest, I don't know.
Big one for me.
I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot of red flags for me. To be completely honest, so I would definitely take him in the second round. I don't think he's a first round pick, to be honest with you. Take
nope,
a look at
I don't think
game,
so either.
I think you're playing with fire there.
Here's the thing. I don't think he's a first round pick, but I think someone is going to take him around one. That I would bet my life on.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think someone will. And you know, it's good. Look, if Miami's on the clock at pick number 13, and if he's still sitting there, you know, I wouldn't take him. I don't think Chris Greer will take him, but you know, the fan base is going to be livid if they don't. I mean, the fan base is just a small sample size of what we see on social media, but the fan base, you know, the hardcore fans, they want him and they're in love with him. And I get it. He's exciting. He's got moxie. He's got a strong arm. He makes plays, but you know, if he's on the board at 13 and Miami takes some, you know, end out of Ole Miss or something, people are going to be, you know, up in arms. So it'll be fun on draft night because he will be the talk of the draft. He is the story of this draft. And like you said, his passion, that scares me because he's a guy who, if he has a rough year or two or three, can say, I don't need this. I'm going to go play baseball. See ya. And then
exactly.
You're screwed because you took him with a first round pick and you're screwed and you got nothing out. And so it's like, that scares me with him. I think we're in the minority, though. I think a lot of people are in love with him. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Mayfield. He's not Breeze. And anybody who says he is, I think is lying to themselves.
Yeah, I was about to say all those guys you mentioned, they had an extensive body of work.
Yeah,
they did. This wasn't flash in the pans. They had more than 2 years of experience, 2 years or more of playing well at a high level. He just has 1 year, so today.
And from a size sort of standpoint, he reminds me more of Flutie than he does any of those guys. Which it'll work to a point, but you got to have a certain type of offense, a certain style. The people around them got to be able to play. It's just tougher when you got a quarterback at that size. And I know some people say, what's the difference between 5'9 and a half and 5'11? There's a difference. I don't know. There just is. And it's one of those things you sort of can't put into words, but there just sort of is a difference on that level, I think. So it's going to be fun to see how this plays out here between now and draft night. As we wind up, let's talk about the game this Sunday, the Super Bowl. I'm really not that excited about the game because I think the Patriots are just going to win easily. I just think they're going to win the game easily, and it's just going to be an uneventful game. I just think it's going to be like a ho-hum Patriots win like 24-10 or something. I mean, it's just going to be, you know, one of those games. What are your thoughts on this game?
I would say that, but they typically don't win any of their Super Bowls.
That's
like
true.
That. So
they do struggle in this game.
Yeah, so I think they are going to win, but I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to come down to so maybe the field goal kick or something of that nature. But I do think the Patriots are going to win. They had – a lot of people thought they were dead in the water, thought they were going to lose to the Chargers, thought, the Chiefs will definitely take care of them in Arrowhead. There's no way they're winning that game. And guess what? They won that game.
They've
dealt with every single thing they've had to do, and this is just another roadblock. And for Brady to get a sixth championship, he's definitely going for it. He's motivated. He's highly motivated.
Yeah, I mean, and they're pumping themselves up like they're this huge underdog. Nobody thinks it's the Patriots' underdog. It's like any fan of the Yankees or anybody on the Yankees going, nobody believed in us. You got the highest payroll in baseball. You're never the underdog. You're the Patriots. You're like the best team ever for 20 years. Nobody views you as the underdog, but they're using it to pump themselves up. I think outside of maybe their little area code up there, people are like, what the hell are they talking about? You know, because it just makes no sense.
I get it to a extent. A lot of people thought they were – you look at what they were in the regular season, and especially when they lost to the Dolphins and the Steelers back-to-back. They were like, this is finally the year. The Patriots are done. They barely won that division. They're going to get smoked in their first game and end up beating down the Chargers. And then, of course, they go to Arrowhead and end up winning. So I get it. It's some truth to that. But nobody's thinking, this team has no shot of winning. But people did leave them for dead, especially after Miami Miracle and the Steelers lost. So yeah, it is some truth to what they are saying.
And I think if they're playing the Saints this week, more people would be on the Saints than would be on the Rams. I think people would be excited for Breeze. I think people would be excited for that high-powered offense of the Saints. And I think people would be like, you know, the Saints, they're inside and stuff and take out a chance. But I think with the Rams, you know, you have a quarterback who's just really quiet and just, you know, he's an okay player. He's not great. He's not awful. He's, you know, he's good. And, you know, there's not much else going on, right? You know, like with the Rams, pretty much. They're kind of a team that to have a young head coach. But aside from that, like, what's the storyline with the Rams? I mean, yeah, there really isn't one.
Yeah, other than, it's kind of boring.
They're a boring team with C.J. Anderson, for crying out loud. Mr. Blitz and Todd Gurley.
I think Aaron Donald's the best player in football.
He is.
I think they're bar none. But, yeah, I don't think a lot of people are going to relate to a defensive tackle and Aaron Donald, somebody that plays all the way on the West Coast. But, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to be turned off just to kind of the way the conference championships went. I'm curious to see the ratings for the game because – you got a lot of Saints fans that are going to be salty and don't want to watch the game. And I'm sure the Chiefs kind of feel similar because of things that may happen. You have a D4 aligning on both sides. So they may be talking about them in the game instead of the Patriots. So, yeah, I'm definitely curious to see how many people actually watch this game.
I'll say this with the NFL. They got one thing in their favor is it's supposed to be ice cold up throughout most of the Northeast, you know, straight through the weekend. So people are going to be inside watching TV this weekend because it's supposed to be like the high is going to be like 3, like through most of the Northeast. That's going to help them. People are going to be inside and they won't be out and about. That's number one. Number two, if you're even a casual fan of football, I don't know how you don't want to watch this. After all the controversy from championship weekend, don't you want to see if the refs screw this up too? I mean, I don't know how you don't want to tune in to see how this plays out because it seems like even if you don't love the game all that much, it's like there's always something to talk about or something's going to happen that'll be controversial, that'll just be headlines the next day. So I don't know who – I know some fans are upset. Oh, I'm not going to watch. I don't know how you can't watch this. It's must-see TV.
And it's nothing – not really else nothing on.
Well, and that. It's Sunday night.
What are you going to watch? Yeah, I have no idea what else comes on during the Super Bowl. I mean,
it's all
reruns
of game shows.
I really can't tell you, so yeah. I really don't know.
Yeah, all right, Antoine, thanks so much for a few moments of your time tonight. Everyone, be sure to read the work of Antoine Staley at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com and follow him on Twitter at Antoine Staley. Antoine, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, that sounds good.
All right, see ya.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.